Roots, and this week the World Roots Academy protege, the London-born veena player Hari Sivanesan, heads off to the city of Chennai in South India to meet his World Roots Academy mentor Aruna Sarum.
It's festival time in India at the moment. It's absolutely brilliant. We're at Chennai's biggest temple. There's a 10-day festival going on, and this is really India, as raw and as deep and as cultural and as mixed and as varied as you can get it. There's sounds everywhere, there's people everywhere, everyone's pushing and shoving, but there's that element of of family, of community, of culture. It's absolutely brilliant.
This is all happening at the Mylapore Temple in the east of Chennai. I've come here with my wife Arati and her parents, and we're here to do puja or prayer. Today particularly so because we're asking for blessings, because I've come here to Chennai as part of the 2011 World Roots Academy. And that means that this week, for the first time, I'm going to be working with my mentor, the phenomenal Aruna Sarum. Very nervous, but very excited too. So in this program, we'll definitely be meeting up with Aruna ji, and also we'll be cruising around Chennai, hopefully in a rickshaw, looking to meet with some of the other amazing musicians that live here in this city. Now, if you're a musician, then the brilliant thing about the Hindu gods is that most of the main gods that we have are musicians as well. So Lord Krishna is always seen playing the flute, Nandi is always playing the mridangam, and most importantly for musicians or for anyone in education, Goddess Saraswati, who's the goddess of learning, plays the instrument that I'm very fortunate to learn, the veena. Well, in a moment, we'll hear the veena playing of one of Chennai's most famous performers, and certainly, I think, the most experimental of them, and that's Sri Rajesh Vaidya. Things have calmed down a little in the temple now, and that's because the procession has actually moved off into the streets of Chennai, and the deities will be in procession along the streets around the temple until at least the early hours of the morning. But I've actually come over to listen to a small group of musicians who have sat down in front of the shrine of Lord Ganesha, the elephant god. They're led by a fantastic singer, a very young singer, Sri Sadguru Nada Odhuvar, and they're actually performing a style of music called Pannisai, which is the ancient temple form of music, and it's said to be the origins of South Indian classical music.
Oh,
second. Sipiram. Abba Les Church Road. And the building, abriye right ke thirumga.
Ah, Archer Temple.
And on the right, liya. We're sitting here in an auto in Chennai. Auto rickshaws are really popular here. They're these three-wheeled little buggy things that everyone seems to use to negotiate the traffic, which doesn't seem to have got any better in all the years that I've come to Chennai. We're on our way to see Sri Rajesh Vaidya. I was fortunate enough to meet him during last year's Durbar Festival in London. He's really a new generation of Veena artist, and I saw he'd adapted the Veena. He'd made it modern, he'd made it electronic, he'd made quite a few changes. We've managed to track him down. He's in the city, he's in Chennai, he's not touring, and he's taken time out to see us, and we're on our way to see him.
Thank you.
Wow. So I'm sitting here with Sri Rajesh Vaidya.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you? I'm very hot because we've switched the fans off. So Rajeshana, tell me, you're known as the Veena Maestro. So let's start with the word Veena. Okay. I mean, can you tell us what a Veena is, what it looks like, how it's made, everything?
Okay, Veena is basically a traditional South Indian instrument made by a tree called jackfruit. It's totally big.
Right.
The jackfruit, it's so sweet.
Okay, okay.
You haven't tasted, right? That fruit?
I've had the tinned version of a jackfruit.
Okay, okay. So it's from the jackfruit tree.
The wood of the jackfruit
wood,
tree.
Okay. Yeah. And it has 24 frets.
Right.
The brass frets.
Okay.
And made of fully wax.
Okay, so they're embedded in the wax. Okay.
Yeah.
Fine.
This is actually, I don't call this Veena, this is Zina.
Okay. So,
Zina.
So what are you using on your Zina?
Okay, this is actually customized Veena made specially for me.
There's elements of it, I know, that look extremely traditional. Your frets, your strings, the fact that you've still got your dragon's head, you've got your yarning wool gum here.
Yeah, everything we can detach.
Oh, everything's detachable
everything,
as well?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
This one we can remove, and this one we can remove, and this one we can remove.
Okay, so you can take off the small gourd, you can take off the yali head.
Everything.
Okay, fine.
Everything. Only this, the main part, we have, because see, nowadays, like, Veena is too difficult to carry all over the world.
The traditional Veena.
Yeah, the traditional Veena.
Okay, right.
And you need a special microphone for a Veena, otherwise you can't hear in the concerts.
Okay.
So I specially made an inbuilt pickup for this Veena. It's called a Fishman pickup. Yeah, it's a Fishman pickup.
Oh, it's built into the bridge of the Veena.
Yeah,
okay.
Just plug and play. That's it.
Okay, plug and play. So Anna, tell us a bit about your training.
Okay, I started when I was 6. Okay. My father was a Ghataman Mridangam player.
Okay.
So he used to run a school, music school. And in that, we have a Veena class.
So basically, you came from a deep classical background.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. My father plays a mridangam and gadan. My mother sings.
Okay. So you got percussion on one side and melody on the other side. Okay. Nice.
Because that time, my father used to play with, the Veena legend, Sri Chitti Babu, sir.
Oh, really?
My guru.
Your father played with...
Yeah. My father and Chitti Babu, sir, are very close friends.
Okay. So Chitti Babu, sir, was an absolute living legend at the time.
2.5 years.
Okay.
I stayed with him. Wow. I lived with him, Chitti Babu, sir, like a gurukula.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
For someone from the West, that's a completely new perception. I mean, I grew up and I went to timetabled classes.
Yeah.
Whereas your training was you lived with your guru.
Yeah. My class will be in the night, only in the night, after 10 or 11. Morning and all, I have to just...
Gurukul,
I have to clean
around.
My guru's place, everything. It's like doing everything with guru.
Yes, yeah, so you're part of the household, basically.
Yes, everything.
Okay.
And one more thing, for that two and a half years, I just learned only one song from him.
Sorry?
Only one song.
For 2.5 years?
Yeah, only one song.
You didn't ever find it frustrating that you were dealing with the same song night after night after night?
Yeah.
Oh, you did? Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, I did.
So did you ever ask him why?
No, I can't.
That's
but he's my guru.
Okay.
Whatever he say, I have to do.
So, I mean, you've come from a strict classical background. You even did Gurukulam, steeped in Karnaticism. And so,
what
but
are you
now...
trying to say? Come on. You're trying to say something.
Yes, I know. You absolutely have complete mastery of your instrument. So why did you decide to cross over these boundaries? Because you're in the classical Carnatic circle, but you've got a foot elsewhere and elsewhere and elsewhere. So what influenced you to move out? Why didn't you just say, I'm going to be the next Chitti Babu?
See, I used to hear a lot of world music.
This is at a young age?
Yeah.
Okay.
I used to follow only Michael Jackson.
I did notice Michael's calendar in your living room.
Yeah, and I love Jimi Hendrix.
Okay, so Jimi played a big... A big influence. Okay.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So how do you bring Jimi Hendrix and Michael Jackson into a Carnatic concert in the December Music Festival? How do you reason those two concepts?
Michael Jackson is like, he has so much melody songs also in his album. Yeah. For example, Earth Song.
Yeah, Earth. Yeah.
You heard about that song?
Yeah.
Sounds like a Natha Bhairavi. Okay.
So it can be reasoned to one of the Carnatic ragas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So this song, I bring this song in a ragam Kiravani.
Fine.
See. Way of playing, that's it. And Michael Jackson, I'll tell you, I was traveling to US for the first time.
Yeah.
And that's my first trip to US.
Right.
And I landed in JFK, New York. I think I got a problem with my visa. So the immigration people, I got stuck. They asked me to sit in a place. After 4 or 5 hours, a lady came. An immigration officer came and she asked me, what happened? Why are you sitting here? I said, yeah, see, I have a visa and I'm going to perform tomorrow here in Cleveland. I have to travel to Cleveland. And she took my passport. She went inside. And after a while, she came out and, sorry, gentlemen, I don't think you can enter US with this visa and you can't perform. I said, okay, then let me go back to India. Then she asked me, what is this? Was it my veena? Yeah. So huge. So this is an Indian instrument, South Indian instruments. Can I have a look? Yeah, why not? And I opened my veena. It was tuned, already tuned. Yeah, nice. Can you play a song? And there, Michael Jackson helped me.
Okay.
I play. I played this. And she was, yeah, wait, let me call all the people. And she called all the officers and they let me in.
That was it? Are you in?
That's it. He said, okay, you are true.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So Anna, it would be brilliant to have one final piece from you.
Yeah.
And just explore, use these influences.
Okay. Thank you.
94.3 Radio 1 Carnatic Night. Presented by EdServe. EdServe in lambsclaw.com. In KG Learn the PG Varakim online le padikalam. In association with Ratna Fan House. Ratna Fan House, Rajabada Street, T-Nagar. Dream Zone.
Well, this is Chennai's own Radio 1, and we're listening to an advert for their special live event, Carnatic Night. Radio in India has just exploded in the last few years. I mean, 10 years ago, hardly anyone listened to All India Radio, and everyone was actually saying that TV had killed radio off. But now Indians are tuning into the radio all over again, especially to the new commercial music stations. Radio 1 plays mostly Indian film music, but it also has regular shows playing Carnatic music, which is South India's classical. Here's RJ, and that is radio jockey Chandini Natarajan.
94.3 Radio 1, avargal nadathra Carnatic night la nam paada
pora. TV was dominating for a very long time, television. But then I think this commercial radio, as in when we started playing film songs, and
right,
we had this new concept of RJs. This came, I think, 6-7 years back. So this formula was a big hit. People started loving it. And
right,
We initially started off with just 2 stations. And now in Chennai, in the last 6-7 years, we have almost 8-9 stations right now, 2 more coming up.
Right.
So, you know, that says it all, how much people in Chennai love listening to RJs, listening to the presenters talk, and listening to Fulham songs.
It's brilliant. I came here a week ago, and for the past 4 days in The Hindu, which is a major newspaper here, I've seen a huge splash where Radio 1 has organised a large classical event, and you've got a young superstar of the Carnatic field, Nitishree, singing. So I mean, it's brilliant that you're behind and backing the classical scene as well. So is this something that you do often?
Yes. So this is a part of our special program called One Chennai, One Music that was launched 2 months back.
Right.
Wherein this is only in Radio 1 in Chennai.
Mm-hmm.
And the main idea, the main reason we started this program is to give exposure to non-film musicians. And this event that's going to happen tomorrow, Nitishree Mahadevan is performing. Yeah. It's called Radio 1 Carnatic Night.
Right.
That's an on-ground, event for our One Chennai, One Music program.
So Chandni, you're about to have this session, and you've got a Mohan Veena player.
Yes.
So tell us more about these sessions that you have.
See, like I told you, we bring in musicians, we bring in singers.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we have Polly Vergis. He's an exponent in music. He plays his instrument called Mohan Veena. I think hardly 4 or 5 people in the world can play that instrument. So he's one of them.
Yeah.
And he's going to play for us the Mohan Veena. He's also brought in guitar. So he's going to play Hindustani music in the guitar. He's also going to sing for us. And he's going to talk about his life as a musician and his career. So that's something that's going to happen in a few minutes.
Nice. Okay, so is there a large audience for Carnatic music still here in Chennai?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. People love Carnatic music. I don't know if you're familiar about this term, Margari Masam, in the December. That's
December
when people
season.
Go crazy about. People from all across the globe come here to Chennai to attend these programs. So it's extremely popular, even though film music is dominating everywhere. Carnatic music has always got, that huge number of people who are just crazy. Even in my house, my grandparents, my parents, my cousins, all of them are. I am a musician myself, so we absolutely love Carnatic music, and it's a craze here in Chennai.
Oh, and here we have Varghese ji coming for his session. So.
I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, people generally think it's only old people that goes to, watch. Like, you can see tomorrow, you'll see a mix of everybody. Everybody's
going to
be there.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting, actually,
so
to see the audience mix.
So, children to grandparents. We had a lot of young teenage guys, college-going guys who came here to pick up tickets for tomorrow's program.
Okay, good.
So, everybody loves it. You just have to have the passion and interest in it.
And tell us a bit more about the December season, because it really is something that's unique to Chennai, correct?
Yes. It's called Margari Masam, December Margari season. And that's when every Carnatic musician, everybody gets really busy.
Anyone
like,
who's anyone. In
any,
the
and you, if you want me to mention names, Sudha Raghunathan, Aruna Sairam, Madam Nitishree Mahadevan, T.M. Krishna, all these people are exponents in Carnatic music. So they will be busy. They will be performing at least 25, 26, 30 shows in 1 month.
Within
every day
season.
They would have programs. And it would be packed. You won't believe. There are about 10, 15 halls. Auditoriums in Chennai, it would be packed, and each of these auditoriums have a capacity of about 2,000 people. So
right.
just imagine
large,
every day
large
it would be packed,
right.
and people from all across the globe fly to Chennai, and all hotels are booked. December, Jan.
I know many people that from London that fly
to
Chennai.
So people plan their week, their vacations accordingly, and they are here with their family just to witness, these artists perform live. So it's a craze. People love it.
One Chennai, One Music with Polly Varghese.
Okay, sir, before you leave, do you have something to say to our Radio 1 listeners?
One thing I'll tell you, instrument doesn't have brain. One instrument has brain. Vocal code instrument has brain. It's a part of the money that I brain.
Mohanveena is a North Indian instrument that was invented only recently. It's a Western slide guitar adapted for Indian music, and it's called a veena because it brings the North Indians pretty closely back to the original veena itself, the instrument that was once all over India. But as Chandini said, although classical Carnatic music has a huge following here in Chennai, it's actually film music that's now closest to the majority of people's hearts. Chennai actually has its very own film industry, which is a rival to Mumbai's Bollywood, and arguably is bigger. And not surprisingly, it's actually known as Kollywood. I'm going to meet a real-life playback star. He's one of the veteran singers of Kollywood, and he's known very simply as Srinivas. He's been one of the favourite singers of the genius who's really revolutionised the music of Bollywood and Kollywood, and that's A.R. Rahman. And so here we can listen to Srinivas himself singing one of A.R. Rahman's hits, Minsara Poove.
Minsara Poove, Pen Poove, May Tinda Vendum, Yenod Varai, Yenas Yose Kela. Minsara Poove, Pen Poove. நந்தில் காய வேண்டும் சகியே 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 என் இசைக்கும் ஆசைக்கும் பூசைக்கும் நீ வேண்டும்
மின்சார கண்ணா மின்சார கண்ணா என்ன கேட்டு என் பெண்ணே வாராய் என் ஆசை ஓசை கேளாய்
குந்தலில் விழும் பூக்களை நீ மடி
So now I'm sitting here on a Chennai balcony with Srinivas Ji. Before you came into music, you worked for 10 years in chemical engineering, is that right?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, so what made you then decide, okay, I'm going to give this up for music?
Actually, you should ask me what made me get into chemical engineering.
Okay. So,
yeah, I should have been in music, but then I was a confused middle class Indian young man, so... I mean, where everyone, all my relatives, all my cousins, everyone was doing engineering. And so I thought that is the way to go in life.
Right.
I worked for about 10, 12 years. I was in production. I was in R&D. I was in the pilot plant. But I was crazy about music all the while.
Right.
Of course, we all go through Carnatic classes when you're young. So
yeah.
Then, of course, from my aunt who was at home. We were a joint family in Trivandrum those days.
Okay. So, oh, you were a large family all living... together, were you? Okay,
In Trivandrum. From there, I remember she used to go to the puja room and sing in the evening. And I used to play. I used to play cricket and come home, and I used to hear her sing and probably take one some kind of a pot and think it's a ghatam and
Then try and play along.
That's how it all started. Nice.
And so then, what made you actually then decide? Okay, this is going to be my career. So
I was also passionate about film music.
Right.
And the first time I heard Roja. Rahman.
Oh, the film.
The film Roja, where Rahman had done his music, and so I didn't know. He was new then.
Yeah,
Nobody knew
film?
That. That was his first film, and the music somehow completely captivated me.
Yeah.
I said, this is something new, completely new.
I remember it was a whole new sound that he brought.
So it was getting kind of international.
Yeah.
I mean, the sound was never there in India earlier.
Mm. Yeah.
Then I came here to Chennai and met Rehman.
Okay.
And I sang some ghazal. He said, okay, you come. If you shift to Chennai,
right,
then I can definitely try you out.
Okay.
So that's
cool.
How I took a transfer
to Chennai.
To Chennai. I started singing for him and then I left my job.
And then decided music was nice. Very nice. Awesome. Well, from your perspective, how do you think maybe the music of the film industry up in the north, so Bollywood music, is different from Kollywood? Is there differences at all? Because you've sung for both. Is that
I've sung for Bollywood too. Now it's not different.
Now.
After Rehman came in, it is not different.
Okay.
He's the numero uno of...
Yes, he's the common denominator of both.
Yeah. But okay, in the south, about the 40s or whatever.
40s, right.
Then it was only Carnatic music, nothing else.
Even in films?
Even in films, yeah.
Right, yeah.
It was only Carnatic music. It was only Carnatic-based stuff that was heard in Tamil. And in the 70s, late 70s, when Ilayaraja came in, he had a very, very strong folk background.
Right.
He was from a village.
Right.
But the brilliance of the man is such that he learned Western music, classical music.
Ilayaraja.
Learned Western classical music the proper way.
Yeah.
So there was a beautiful blend of Tamil folk and Western symphonic arrangements, you know.
Right, right.
And for everything, the arrangements used to be very Western.
Yeah.
The chords
were very, very
fixed.
Yeah.
No, there was no improvisation.
Yeah.
Then when Rehman came,
yeah,
he started getting international sounds
into
his music. And his tunes are more based on Hindustani ragas.
Right.
And Western, like Michael Jackson.
By
the very popular Western bands and all that. And then when he did folk, he really, really went into folk. And his basic tunes were always either very Hindustani or folk.
Srinivashi, we were at your concert a couple of nights ago and it was wonderful. You sang Unplugged, you sang a very famous A.R. Rahman hit, Arage Sugama. And straight from that, you went into Sahana Raga. So you went from straight into cine music or film music, straight into Carnatic classical. And you skipped from both so easily. So what would you say are the similarities and the differences between classical and...
No, that particular song was based on Sahana Raga.
Right.
So I also thought I'll sing a bit of Sahana. Yeah, but then in film music, we really don't stick to one rag, if you notice. Even Arage Sugama. That is Dujavanti.
That's
it. So, that is Sahana and Nijamandi is
from one raga
it
to
is very
raga. Yeah.
Films, we do that all the time.
You're just mixing and moving from raga.
But I know Carnatic, the purist will get a shock. The purist Carnatic musician will get a shock. But for others, what is this? Nice.
Yeah.
Nice shift is what you'll think.
Yeah.
So when you hear something new and you're open to it, you like it.
Yeah.
So that's what happens in film music.
Yeah, definitely.
வெளியே அழுதால் வெட்கமென்று விளக்கை அணைத்து
In a moment, we're finally going to meet my mentor in the World Roots Academy scheme, the great singer Ona Sairam. However, Onaji isn't actually the first teacher I've had here in Chennai, because at 17, I was sent off here by my teacher in London, Srimati Shivashakti Sivanesan, to spend 6 months training under one of her own gurus, and that was the remarkable player Srimati Kalpakam Swaminathan. She was born in 1922, so that makes her 89 years old at the moment. At a very young age, she perfected the Thanjavur style of playing, or the Gaiki style of playing, which is said to be the most similar to the singing voice, and truly, her tiny hands can make a veena sing.
From my mother. She was able to teach me. Mother learned so much.
So how did you learn in those days?
Every day, four times I used to play.
Four times a day?
Four times a day.
Every day?
Every day.
For how long?
Before going to school, yep. I should play.
Mm.
And after coming for lunch.
Oh, you come home for lunch?
From school.
Yeah.
Once again.
At lunchtime?
Yes. Yeah. And in the evening, before going to school.
Before going back to school for afternoon schooling. School. Okay.
And at night, she used to come and sit with me.
Yeah.
Four times a day.
Four times a day. So like half an hour each time?
45 minutes at least.
45 minutes?
Yes.
45 yes. minutes, four times a day.
Yes. In the early morning, I used to play all the... Three octaves.
Okay.
Daily.
So was Amma strict with you? Mother was strict?
Yes.
Huh?
My mother used to keep the veena.
Yeah.
And she will tell me, she will bring milk for me, boil milk and bring. And till then you play.
And until then you have to keep.
I used to keep on playing.
Until the milk arrived.
All the three octaves.
So this was early in the morning, huh?
Yes.
Six o'clock?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock in the morning?
5 o'clock in
okay.
the morning. The same lesson.
Oh, the same lesson non-stop for 45 minutes?
Yes.
Just the three scales?
Yes. All the octaves.
Oh, okay.
All the three octaves. At night, she used to sit and hear me.
Oh, okay. So night time, she'd actually sit with you?
For a long time.
Like 2 hours?
At night.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes. She will be watching me.
Okay.
Practice.
Okay. So, when, teacher, did you start doing concerts?
From 16.
Yes.
I think. I started playing kacheris.
So, what were concerts like then?
It was so-so only. Because I less concerts.
There were less concerts. So, you had to really go and find a concert.
Yes, it was like that.
And now there's lots of concerts happening, you feel, is it?
Yes.
Yeah? So, teacher, when you were younger, how did you play veena for a concert because there was no mics?
Because of not so many audience.
There was a small audience?
Very small, 20s.
So, the mridangam wasn't too loud for the veena?
It was away from veena.
Okay.
The distance was there.
Okay, so the veena was slightly closer to the audience than the mridangam.
Yes.
Teacher, how else has the playing style changed? From when you were young and from now?
Playing slowly is very difficult. Fast playing, it is easy.
Oh. So is everyone playing fast, quick now?
Yes, fast. By practice, they get it.
So anyone can practice and play fast? Okay.
And it is knowledgeable when it slowly comes.
So only if you really have knowledge and depth is when you're going to give that emphasis to the raga.
Yes.
And so teacher, how do you think the Carnatic world has changed from when you were young till now?
It has become very brightly now. Yes.
Carnatic music's become brighter now.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. From those days, it was ordinary.
Oh, really?
Now it is standard. Has grown up.
It's grown a lot, has it?
Now it is something good. Thank you.
மணி நூபுரதாரி. மணி நூபுரதாரி. மணி நூபுரதாரி.
Here we are in Aruna Sarum's rehearsal studio. Aruna G and I have been working together for a few days now, and I must say it's been a real eye-opener for me. Aruna G has really taken the classical Carnatic singing style to audiences throughout Europe and America, and she's absolutely right at the top of the tree of Carnatic singers. I'm still in awe that in July we're going to be doing a late night BBC Promenade concert together at the Royal Albert Hall. And we're actually about to do our very first rehearsal for it. So Aruna G, my sessions with you have been very, very different to anything I've done with anyone in the past. Absolutely blown away. All my sessions in the past have been very composition based. It's very much, here's a line, can you repeat it? Until I repeat it, you know, as perfectly as they think that I've caught on to what they've said. However, we've dealt a lot about expression and improvisation in our sessions. So I suppose, Aruna G, can you start by maybe telling us a little bit about how improvisation works in Carnatic music, and maybe about what gives you your inspiration for improvisation?
I suppose life gives the inspiration, because what happens in music is a reflection of what happens in life. In fact, what happens in art, any art form, resembles life as such, and it's the way in which it's expressed through that art form that touches you, but basically it's the same emotions that we're dealing with. Mm. But it took me a long time to realize that, but the day I did, I think was a transformation for me in my musicianship and in my life. And ever since, it's been easier to walk this path, because I know that I don't have to be something else when I'm not singing or performing, and I know I don't have to be something else when I am performing. It's just the same thing.
I mean, as a child, when they talked to me about improvisation, they said, just practice it, just practice it, just practice it, and then all of a sudden it will flow.
Yes, yes.
So, do you agree?
Yeah. I completely agree, it's very similar to language skills. I mean, yes. You know, you write, and then you have trouble writing a word, you have trouble writing a sentence, and then by the time you've written a paragraph, like, you're sweating, you don't know how you managed it.
Yeah.
But with practice, and just you write, and then one day you can just write something of your own, which wows the other people who read it, and they say, oh, how did you manage to do this? I mean, this is beautiful. So it's extreme discipline that you inculcate in yourself, and then suddenly you're ready to break all the shackles.
So Aruna G, already I sit in the audience and I listen to you, or I sit just here in our sessions and I listen to you improvising, and I just think, wow, this is something I never thought. Every time I think, oh, this is what you're doing, and then you've moved to another idea. So how do you push your own creative boundaries?
I can give you an example.
Please.
I had a teacher called Mr. Mani, who was a disciple of the great maestro Tiger Vardacharya.
Oh, wow.
So they would say, you know, that what he was famous for is, they said that when he improvises, you know, it's like wave after wave is coming. Wave after wave is just coming, and you don't know from where it's coming. And then Mr. Mani would sit with me and he would say, do you want to improvise like that? And yeah, yeah, of course I want to, but I couldn't really? Do it. I could demonstrate for you.
Yeah, love.
Typically, if I was a student, this is how I was improvising. Let me put it that way.
Okay.
So, round after round, you know, I would just go up and down, like going up the ladder and coming down the ladder, because I thought that's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
I'm talking of myself,
yeah.
Let's say, when I was a very young student.
Yeah.
Whereas then my teacher said, you know, don't go up and down, but stay with just four notes. So sa ga ma da da ma ga sa, only that much.
Mm.
You limit your range, okay,
yeah,
where
limit
which
range.
You can touch.
Mm.
It's like a game.
Yeah.
So he says you can't go beyond that. Now you sing. So ma 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 ga sa ga ma 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 ma. So I was struggling, and then he took over. Then he would sing like this. Ma 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 ga ma da da ma ga ma da da ma ga da ma ga ma ga sa ga ni sa ga ma 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 ga ma ma sa ga ba ma ni sa ga ma ma da ba ma ni da ma ma ga ma sa ba ni ba ma ni ma da ba ga ma da da ma ga ma da da ma ga ma da da ma ga da ma ga da ma ga da ma ma ga sa ga ma ma ga sa ga ma ma ga sa ga ma ma ga ma ma ga ga sa ga ga so ma ma ga ga so da da ma ma ga sa da ni sa ga ma 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 ma. So it's fun.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Then you just keep doing that, and you will find a way of breaking certain barriers, and then you're set.
Arunaji, your trademark piece, if anyone says Kalinga Nartana Tilana, they think of you. So can you tell us a little bit about it, or where did the concept come from? Because it's very different, talking the words, and similar to what we have in the West as rap and emceeing, but this is completely
yeah.
new, completely new.
Yeah, this Kalinga Nartanam Tillana is a composition of Utkada Venkata Subbayyar.
Yeah.
And interestingly, he was 16th century.
Right.
And the Utkada is a village in the outskirts of Tanjore,
okay.
near Kumbakonam. There was this tradition of Bhagavata Mela, which is theater with music, you know. I think it's a result of the theatrical experience that he has had in his tradition, that he composed something so vivid that this Tilana actually makes you visualize a dance of Krishna from nowhere, you know.
Yeah.
And the reason I, again, was a beneficiary of this legacy is Utakada Venkata Subbayyar's descendant. And this great artist was staying with us for months. And he would sing and speak this Tilana. And at that age, I said, someday I'm going to sing this. I'm going to say this.
Mm.
But easier said than done, because before I introduced it in concert here in Chennai, you know how Chennai is.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
a very conservative,
austere,
very hard
yeah,
tradition. So I had to think ever so many times before introducing it here. But the very first time that I sang it in one of those very important concerts in the December season, with trepidation, but the results were so amazing. People just wouldn't want to leave the auditorium. They were so mesmerized by the piece.
Mm.
And I knew it was the right thing to do. And after that, one hasn't looked back, thanks to Utakada Venkata Subbayyar.
So it was actually
the great composer.
Like
yeah, he composed this in 16th century.
And he composed it in that tune with
yes,
the same idea.
Yes, it was composed as a music,
yeah.
Interspersed with rap. And then back to the music. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, very avant-garde.
So we're about to go back into rehearsals for the proms, and we're very fortunate to be joined by Shri Padri Satish Kumar on Mridangam and Shri Prasanna on Ganjira. And maybe we'll actually try the Tilana itself.
Mm-hmm.
Tam tim taranata Dinadagina tam tim taranatam Dinadagina tam tim taranatam Dinadagina tam tim
Tilana, sung by Aruna Saruman, playing the Veena, was the presenter of this week's World Roots, Harry Sivanesan. The programme was made in Chennai last month. And since the recording, Harry has had the sad news that his old teacher in Chennai, Srimamati Kalpakam Swaminathan, has died. And Harry will be playing tribute to her in our next World Roots Academy programme, which is in July.
The 2011 BBC Proms. The world's greatest classical music festival returns from Friday the 15th of July to Saturday the 10th of September. For full details of the season, go online to bbc.co.uk/proms or consult the BBC Proms guide, available now.
Now it's 4 o'clock and time for Jazz Library. Here's Alan Shipton.
Well, welcome to the Northwall Arts Centre in Oxford as part of the Oxford Jazz Festival 2011. I'm very pleased to welcome one of my favourite saxophonists in all of jazz, and I mean not just the UK, not just Europe, everywhere in the world. Please give a fantastic Oxford welcome to Bobby Willens. Thank you. Well, Bobby, we've got quite an itinerary of music to get through from various stages in your musical career.
Yeah.
Let's start by something that perhaps people don't remember quite so well, which is your very short period as a soloist working with the John Dankworth Orchestra, because this goes back to the quite early 1960s. And you were a relatively new fellow in town at that stage.
Yeah, I suppose I was, really. But I'd had 3 years of the big bands from the 1950s. I mean, I was only 19 then when I joined. Malcolm Mitchell was the first band. And I could read. I could read very well because I'd just come out of the RAF School of Music and come to stay in London. But, of course, I was very lucky because the first person that I met in London who had anything to do with that kind of music was Duncan Lamont. And he's been a kind of a champion of mine for a long time, off and on. So when he was leaving this big band, he'd asked Malcolm Mitchell, he said, give Bobby a go at this. And I went on the bus to Manchester and made an absolute mess of the audition because I wasn't accustomed to all the different sections and the brass and the drums and everything else. And of course, although I could read, it wasn't very well done. But about a week later, Malcolm phoned up and he said, well, the guys in the sax section think you could probably make a contribution to the band. So I memorised the parts because I was he said, I'll give you 3 months. So I memorised the parts and made sure I was going to get the gig. And after that, I had about 3 years with the band. So going with John was not a brand new experience, but from the point of view of wanting to be an improviser in that sort of fraternity, it was kind of new, yes.
Well, there's a lovely moment in the suite called What the Dickens, where you and Ronnie Ross, who is another great unsung talent, in this case on the baritone, have a great duet on a piece called Well I Never Did. And I think we'll hear a bit of that in a minute, but it must have been a nice moment for you working alongside Ronnie.
Well, Ronnie was a very established name at that time, and it was. The thing is, although you might be a bit nervous, you're more concerned about what you've got to do, what the job requires.
Of Well I Never Did by the John Dankworth Orchestra in October 1963, with Bobby Willens taking that rather Highland Reelish sort of tune that John had come up with.
Yes, yeah. It was a nice suite, that, wasn't it? John's suite.
Quite a bit of it now to be found on the 4-CD set called I Hear Music on the Salvo label, so that's where you can hear this particular edition of the Dankworth Band. I suppose, Bobby, the name that most people associate you with from the mid-1960s is Stan Tracy.
Yes, of course.
We're not going to plough straight into the obvious Stan Tracy tracks because I thought we might just look at the New Departures Quartet.
Yes, Lauren Morgan.
Now,
yes.
That was set up by a very interesting character called Victor Schoenfield.
Victor's been a catalyst on all sorts of things over the years and always been a great champion of the music. And, of course, we were quite involved with Michael Horowitz and Pete Brown, the poets, too, at that time. So it was a very educational time for most of us because I'd never been into poetry very much. Stan was very fond of poetry, but I never was. And so it was quite interesting to have to improvise behind things like that. But the New Departures, you have Jeff Klein, Laurie Morgan, and Stan and myself, wasn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, we could have chosen one of your originals from this, but I thought it might be quite interesting to hear you doing more or less variations on a standard. Love with Variations, which is really, I can't give you anything but love, tweaked a bit, is interesting in that the whole quartet takes a slightly elliptical view of the standard that everybody's been playing since the cradle, really.
Yes. I must have been in a terribly mischievous mood because I quote that daft tune, don't I? And they played it on the radio, this local radio, the other day. I thought it was a rubbish lyric, but in actual fact it was Italian. I can't remember what it was called. But I just used that as the opening for... I don't know how it came about.
Well, it's one of those interesting moments in music, isn't it? So let's hear the New Departures Quartet. This was the group, as Bobby said, that Michael Horowitz put together to work with poetry and jazz. The album was brought out on the Hot House label, which was part of the late Ed Dipple's empire.
Oh, yeah.
And it's simply called the New Departures Quartet. This track is Love with Variations.
Thank you.
Across part of Love with Variations from the album The New Departures Quartet, Bobby Wellens tenor, Stan Tracy piano, Jeff Klein bass and Laurie Morgan drums in June 1964, and that originally came out as a transatlantic LP, now quite a rarity. It was then issued on CD by Hot House, and you can now find it as a download. And Bobby, I think that quartet really was sort of the genesis of you playing with Stan, wasn't it?
Well, that came after the Tony Crombie band. Tony started a small band in the three nights a week at the Flamingo in Wardour Street and invited me to work with the band. I mean, that was a dream time for me because he was one of my great idols, Tony Crombie, and Ronnie Scott, various people. Stan I'd heard of before because only through him working with the Ted Heath band. But outside of that, we'd never met before. And when we did play together, I had a feature, Caravan. And that was the time when I suddenly thought, God, this guy is just, the accompaniment is just wonderful. It's inspiring. You know, that's where a lot of, I think, the blossoming of one as an improviser started, with Stan's association.
Now, just over a year ago, Stan was talking to me at the Gateshead International Jazz Festival on this very programme, and he was sort of slightly dismissive about his jazz suite inspired by Undermilk Wood, in the sense that I think that's the thing everybody always talks to him about. But in a way, that record has become a sort of landmark of 1960s jazz, because it didn't owe anything to anyone. It seemed to be a quartet that did its own thing and did it with a certain amount of attitude, but at the same time tied into some of the ethos of the poetry.
Well, the reason that quartet came together was because Ronnie Scott was a compulsive gambler. And across the road from the original club was Italian Jock. He was working for one of the firms in London. And he ran this little nightclub, which was mainly for the guys of that fraternity to go and gamble. And Ronnie was in there. So when Ronnie was on a roll, Pete King would ring me up and say, can you do tonight for Ronnie? And so that's how I come to play with Stan, you see. And sometimes it would turn, if it was on a real roll, it'd be two nights or three nights. And then I'd go across there and Jock would open the door. You know, he was being a Glasgow Italian. I was one of his boys. Come in, son, come on, son. And have a nice cup of tea. There wasn't much drink going about then. Probably with them there was. But that's how Stan and I really got together, was in the club. And then Stan used to phone me up and say, I think Ronnie's he's winning. You'll probably be playing tonight at the club. You know, this is how it went on. It's good stuff.
And hearing you in that quartet, though, I suppose that's the chemistry, that a number of nights where you work together over a long period of time. The quartet really just feels like a band that's extremely comfortable with one another.
Well, you see, there has been no discussion with Stan and I over the years about the rapport. There wasn't any need for discussion because it was just there. It's never been any different. It's difficult to explain, of course. I mean, maybe some intellectual might explain it, but it just works. Well, and always does.
Great example of it now, perhaps the best known track from that album, Starless and Bible Black. Thank you.